welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad that you're able to join me today as we begin a message. Have you passed through God's nine gates of victory? And I pray as we go into the Word of God that you will find some insight as well as inspiration into your own life. But before we begin, as always, I'd like to open with prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God and that you're doing such a work in the lives of your people today. Lord, we know we're living in difficult times. And Lord, you said in your word, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. And so, Father, we look to you that no matter what occurs in our lives, that you are the rock of our salvation. You are our high tower. You are our hiding place. You are our place of refuge. Lord, that you've given us the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And Father, we shall fear no evil, for you are with us. And so, Father, right now I lift every listener, Lord, everyone who's reaching out in faith to you in agreement as we pray together. Father, I thank you that it is your will. It is your desire. It is your pleasure. It is your heart's cry to meet every one of our needs, Lord, whether it's spiritual or physical or financial or circumstantial or relational, according not to the limits that we would put on anything, but Lord, according to your riches in glory, Lord, the unfathomable grace and measure of love of God, Lord, it's something beyond our comprehension. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, just a baptism of your peace right now, that your people will feel your presence, and Lord, they shall rejoice knowing that all is well with my soul. They'll be able to say that and be able to praise you because, Lord, there's something so marvelous that occurs when we worship and praise you, Father. You inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord, when your presence comes, there's fullness of joy. There's faith. There's encouragement. There's a lifting up above the storms of life. And we can recognize that truly we are seated with you in heavenly places. And you've given us, as your children, authority and dominion. Lord, that was your primary objective when you created man, to have dominion over the things of the earth, the things that you had entrusted to us. And so, Father, spiritually, as your people, we walk in that, we move in that, and we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, comfort, bless, encourage your beloved in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, what we're going to do starting today, and as long as the Lord would enable, we're going to be looking at the third chapter of the book of Nehemiah. But just by way of overview, and I'm not obviously going to read everything there, but just to give a quick overview rundown of what is occurring in the book of Nehemiah, one of the historical books relating to the literal history of the Jews. And there was this man named Nehemiah. And of course, the Jews at this point were in Babylon, and one of the brethren, there were still some Israelites, the poorest, were left in Jerusalem to maintain the city. And so they came to the palace. It says Nehemiah was in Shushan, the palace, and one of his brethren came, and he, of course, was concerned to know about how is it going in Jerusalem? How are people doing there? And the word was that they were in great affliction and reproach. The wall, this is verse 3, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And so when he heard this, it says he mourned, he wept, he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. His prayer is listed there. And then he was just waiting before God. I mean, his soul obviously was greatly burdened. And then in the second chapter, it says he was the king's cupbearer. He was the king at that time was Artaxerxes, and he had a very important position because, and a trusted position because, as the cupbearer, he was to taste of the king's wine so that none of the king's enemies could ever poison them. There was a lot of that going on in that time, you see. And so the king asked him, he saw by his expression that he was sad, and he asked the reason, because you should not be in the presence of a king in that condition. And so he shared, and it says in verse 4, the king said unto me, for what dost thou make thy request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven, and he said unto the king, verse 5, chapter 2, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. I set him a time. He was given letters. And in verse 10, it says, and the king granted me according, in whatever he asked for, letter for the keeper of the king's forest so that he could have timber, all that would pertain to the building of the wall of the city. And it says, the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And then it says in verse 11 that he arrived in Jerusalem. He was there 3 days, and he kept his purpose quiet. He counted the cost. He took a review of what needed to be done. He held his peace. And then when it was time, he actually gathered the rulers, the elders, together, because they didn't know what he was up to or what he was doing. And in verse 17, chapter 2, he said, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. The gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, they were encouraged, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And of course, they even then, Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah, they began to contradict them and ridicule them. Nonetheless, they, in verse 3, we see that there was an organization of the work. And as you read that chapter 3, it talks about the different gates. Verse 1, for example, then Elijah the high priest rose up his brethren, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, set up the doors of it. And you go through the whole third chapter, and that's all it talks about. And it talks about the various gates and the individuals that worked in the entire building of the walls of Jerusalem. And you might say, well, yes, God's really interested to detail, and these are all important people, and they all had an important job, but it doesn't have a great deal of significance for us, unless we dig a little bit deeper. And so I pray with the Lord's help, we might find some meaning and significance, as there always is, in the word of the Lord that is contained in the third chapter of Nehemiah. Now, let's begin by understanding that in ancient times, when people gathered together in a city, they built walls. And walls were very important because they afforded protection from enemies. Well, we want to see spiritual application to us today, and we see God is calling his people inside the walls of his salvation, his presence, his protection, his blessings, his victory. We know that when Jesus returns, he is coming back. He'll put his feet on Mount Olivet, and he will reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. The King of Peace will take up residence there. And then also we know when there's a new heaven and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, which is in heaven, will come down and be on this new earth, and the habitat of God will be with men for the remainder of eternity, of which there's no limitations. And as we look at the world around us, beloved, There are so many things taking place in our nation and in this world that we've never seen before. It's like nothing we have in place can handle or withstand the terrible things that are occurring, whether earthquakes or hurricanes or tornadoes or floods or the civil and social violence and crime that is occurring. This nation, beloved, each one of us, every Christian who desires the protection of God has to come within the walls of God's protection. And so we see, I just sort of gave an overview of the books of the opening chapters of Nehemiah. In that first chapter, we find a man, Nehemiah, who's looking at Jerusalem and sees her afflicted state. Nehemiah doesn't just mourn Jerusalem's condition, he does something more about it. He fasts, he prays. The walls around Jerusalem were down, the gates of the city, and you know there's going to be gates in that new Jerusalem, you know that. Those cities in the natural city of Jerusalem had been burned with fire. Basically, there was no protection or defense for Israel. In the natural, it was extremely important. In ancient days, they built walls. That was how a city was protected. But we see the church today in a condition spiritually. And then in so many places, her walls are down. Her gates have been burned with the fire of disobedience and unbelief. In so many places and in many instances, the church, even though perhaps well-meaning and sincere, is caught up with programs, attendance goals, worldly pursuits that the church has allowed the walls of her protection to be torn down and her gates burned with the fires of unbelief and formalism, denying the power of God. Well, I see my time has flown, and we're just getting into the message, and I pray that you'll be able to be with me tomorrow at this same time if you're listening by radio. And if you ever miss a broadcast, wish to rehear, please go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. But as I always do, this is a ministry of prayer and correspondence. If you have need of prayer, there's power and agreement, and you may have someone that you just don't have the ability to share a really important request, and sometimes that is the case, then I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, UCM partners. Thank God for you and my radio family. Even though you've never written, I still pray for you every day. God bless you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.